Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. We'll be taking your calls for my guest, Joe Dallas, later on in the broadcast. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Well, most of you, if you're paying attention, know that Western culture is in free fall, having long become acclimated to divorce, to premarital sex, to cohabitation. We are finally witnessing the mainstreaming of homosexuality. The gay rights juggernaut is advancing through film and through television characters, through sympathetic journalists, even through the American Psychiatric Association and the educational systems around the world. Not only that, but anti-discrimination laws are weighing in strongly with respect to this debate. And only 1 year ago, the Supreme Court of our land declared a constitutional right to same-sex marriage. This was so lauded, so hailed, that our president celebrated the redefinition of marriage for really the first time in human history by bathing the White House in rainbow-colored lights. The shifting national debate is simultaneously stifling free inquiry and producing extraordinary questions. No longer are we permitted to ask, is homosexual activity normal? But we're now asked, are objections to homosexual activity normal? And by the way, why restrict marriage to just two people? We used to talk about gender identity disorder, but now it's gender dysphoria. The idea that our subjective feelings, not our objective biology, our subjective feelings determine our sex, our gender. And a totalitarian boot slams down anyone who dares to respect the rights of women as women and men as men in bathrooms and showers throughout the world. The Judeo-Christian worldview is morphing into pluralism, into multiculturalism, into relativism, into naturalism, and the magnitude of these tectonic shifts, well, it's creating tsunamis that are sweeping away pillars of civilization that have endured for centuries. But here's the real problem. The average Christian, let alone the average American, cannot defend the objective nature of marriage, the unique, permanent, the comprehensive union of two people, one man, one woman, the natural end of which is the bearing and rearing of children. And in the midst of that, we are a dying civilization. The demographics are alarming. Our death rate exceeds our birth rate. And then enter all of this social chaos. Now, we can curse the darkness, or we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. And that's precisely what my friend Joe Dallas has done. I am very, very pleased to make available to our listeners all this month Joe's latest book. He's written over 7 books on human sexuality. And there's no one on the planet that deals with this subject better. And what I mean by better is with more compassion and integrity than does Joe Dallas. And I love the subtitle of the book. It's discussing these issues with kindness and with clarity. In my endorsement on the book, I say, I've often said no one understands the subject of same-sex sexuality better than Joe. And this book, in my view, only confirms my convictions. And I'm not just speaking of his formidable knowledge, but his wisdom in the application of that knowledge through crystal clear and concise communication. And I just mentioned it, but the wake of the June 2015 U.S. Supreme Court redefinition of marriage has caused a need for this book that is overwhelming. This is not just an issue. I want everybody to understand this is a very significant issue. In fact, if you look at the foundation of life, on that foundation is a pillar, and that pillar is marriage. It is axiomatic to civilization. That pillar has been broken. And we can sit idly by, or we can do something. And the thing you can do is always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. And this book equips you to do just that. Now, if you've read any of Joe's books, you know they're eminently readable. They're laid out in such a way that you can get it, remember it, and use it to make a difference. The book, again, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Or just pick up the phone and talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, letter CRI. You can also write me, as mentioned, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Joe, good to have you back on.
Great being here, Hank. Thank you.
Give us, if you will, a state of the union. Just from your perspective, where are we?
We are on the defense. You brought it up yourself, Hank, and it's a good point. When the culture shifts to a different viewpoint, those holding the traditional viewpoint are now required to explain and even defend their refusal to shift with the culture. You quoted Peter when he said we need to be ready to give an answer. And that word he used, answer, is, to my thinking, a key word in this discussion. We are making our apologia, our defense. That's what this book, Speaking of Homosexuality, is about, because more than ever, the church is required to make a defense for our claim that God indeed defined what he created as existing between a man and a woman exclusively. And because we believe that marriage has a specific definition, which our culture is now veering from, we're called on to defend that position. Here's where it gets dicey, though. We are being called on to defend something we know, but largely have not examined, because we never thought we would have to defend it. As you said earlier, Hank, it seems so self-evident. Our very anatomy testifies to the normalness of a heterosexual union and the abnormalness of a male mating with a male or a female with a female. So what we seem to know intuitively and by observation, we are still being challenged to defend. And sometimes I think defending the obvious can be tough because the thing is so self-evident. We wonder why we are having to defend it, and for that reason, I think many people haven't bothered to think it through.
Okay, let's start with your own life story. You were a gay activist yourself.
I was. I was like many people, Hank. I realized early in life that I was attracted to the same sex. I acted on those attractions at a young age and then heard the gospel and responded. I was born again in 1971 under the ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith at Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, California, during what we often call the Jesus Movement. And I served the Lord very fervently for years while silently wrestling with homosexual temptations. And I reached a point of giving myself permission when I was in my early 20s to give into those temptations. And then I had a dilemma. I did not want to abandon Christianity. I also didn't want to abandon homosexual practices. And I heard about a church where I would be given permission, sanction, if you will, to express both parts of myself, my spiritual life and my homosexuality. And so I fought for years. When I say fought, I debated on college campuses. I promoted the idea that homosexuality and Christianity were compatible until early 1984, when the conviction of the Holy Spirit, combined with the knowledge that I had had with sound teaching in my earlier years, just became too much for me, and I had to admit I had been kidding myself.
Now, there are three things in the introduction that I want you to reiterate. You say that you knew what you believed, but at first you just didn't know how to state it. And then you knew how to state it, but you didn't know how to defend it. And then you came to the place where you knew how to defend it, but you didn't do it with the right attitude. I think a lot of people can relate.
I think so, yes, because so often we know what we believe, but we've never known how to explain it. And oftentimes, as you mentioned in the introduction of my book, I point out that when I first tried to explain my beliefs, I sputtered through it because the subject can be so emotional that when you try to finesse it too much, you make a fool out of yourself. I'll give you a good example. It's the one I gave in the introduction of the book. When I repented of homosexuality in January of 1984, I needed to tell my gay friends about the decision I had made. So I sat down with some of them, and I started trying to explain. Now, I made one of many mistakes that I have made over the years. The first one I made was trying so hard, to put it nicely, that I got too vague, too hypersensitive, and I lost all clarity. So I said vague things like, I've had kind of a spiritual awakening, and I'm not sure that this is right anymore, and I am seeking God's will, rather than simply saying, I have repented of homosexuality because I have come to believe it is a sin. And what I have found, Hank, is that when people sense that you are trying too hard to finesse your words, you come across as phony, you come across as apologetic and not really convinced of what you're saying. And I'm bringing this up because I think many believers today are so concerned about not giving offense that they're actually dancing pirouettes when they should be speaking plainly, always respectfully and with gentleness, but with clarity. And I find that many people who are either non-Christian or pro-gay appreciate it much more when we are honest and direct and respectful with them, rather than trying to finesse our words so much that we wind up saying virtually nothing.
Joe Dallas, he's the author, is speaking of homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity. And as he just pointed out, you not only have to know what you believe, but you need to know how to defend what you believe, and you have to do it with the right attitude. I mean, so many people have to have, in the Christian community, an attitude adjustment. It's critical. Because whether we win the war or not, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ did not repel. Jesus Christ reached. And we should as well. This is a very dicey topic to be discussing on national radio. In fact, radio that's going around the world. And so we have to talk about this subject in the right way, and that means having the right attitude. And part of having the right attitude is recognizing our own sin. We can't look at others as though they have besetting sins and we don't. We're all struggling with this sin thing. And again, if there's one thing that I appreciate about Joe Dallas, and there's a lot of things I appreciate about Joe Dallas, but if there's one thing above the others, it is he not only understands the subject, but he deals with this subject with compassion and with character. Speaking of homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and with clarity, available for your support all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. While you're there, check out the Christian Research Journal, Cutting Edge. If you're not subscribing, remedy that woeful condition. I'll be right back with more of Joe Dallas. You can call in your questions for Joe, 888-ASK-HANK.
A popular poster reminds us that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's difficult in a world where we're constantly bombarded by distractions and the roar of the media that gets louder by the day, and where the temptations to major on the minor are relentless. But as soft persecution mounts for Christians in the West, and growing numbers of lives are lost to the brutal persecution of Christians around the world, we cannot afford the derailments that could result from these distractions. Because the work of equipping fellow believers to think and live Christianly has never been more critical, let us hear from you today. To make a difference in the ongoing struggle for truth and life, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Black Hebrew Israelite movement has infiltrated black communities on the basis of two principal claims. First, all African Americans biologically descend from the ancient Hebrews. And second, the means of salvation for African Americans is obedience to the law of Moses. Their worldview, however, has no foundation in history or scripture. Other topics include doubt as virtue, how to doubt and have faith without exploding, Francis Schaeffer, pastor, evangelist, apologist, prophet, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. or subscribe online at equip.org. Few, if any, could have predicted it, yet the moral fabric of our culture is radically changing. What is now increasingly mainstream is a pervasive acceptance of homosexuality that was inconceivable a mere generation ago. And because of the dizzying speed of change, many Christians are ill-prepared to deal with the implications. Joe Dallas offers an informed and caring response in his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity. Receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. I'm going to be speaking this week at an Arabic Community Christian church. It's called Glendale Presbyterian Church in Glendale, California. That's Friday evening, October 7th, 7:15 p.m. And after the message, which is going to be reading Revelation for all it's worth, there'll be a time for question and answers. That'll be a big part of the evening. Again, all of that taking place Friday, October 7th. That's this coming Friday. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Another program note, and that is I'm going to be with Joe for an extra hour once we go off the air. So if I don't get to your question in this segment of the show or the next, I will get to your question for Joe Dallas. Again, the number to dial to talk directly to Joe, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. As mentioned in the first segment, the book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and with Clarity, written by Joe Dallas. Joe, talk for a moment about the structure of the book. I was taken by your talking points.
Hank, I wanted to put together a very user-friendly guide for people to refer to, where they could basically see what the traditional position is, what the most common objections to that position currently are, how to respond to those objections, and then some talking points to wrap up each topic. So the way the book is laid out, just for example, say you want to look at the issue of are people born gay? You look at the traditional position that Christians have held about the human condition, that we are a fallen race, we are beset with many physical and emotional and sexual issues God did not intend us to have, homosexuality being one of them. The objection to that viewpoint now is that people are born gay by God's design. So that's the second part. And then the third part is I offer some responses to that objection. And then finally, you find 10 talking points, just brief sentences that you can use during a conversation that you're having with someone. So I tried to put together the mechanics of our defense, the responses to give, but also I wanted to talk about the attitude with which we express those answers, because as you said, needlessly repelling people is very poor stewardship. If we're not speaking with respect and gentleness, we're not being true ambassadors.
I want to discuss persecution. I mean, if you go to the Middle East, you'll find that there are whole cities that have been exiled, where Christians have been executed, where churches are completely empty. In the West, there's some hard persecution, but most persecution is what we'd categorize as soft persecution, but it's persecution nonetheless. Bill O'Reilly, for example, accusing Phil Robertson on his show, Charlie Sheen, calling Phil Robertson out as a mallard-brained, sub-evolved, I think it was shower dodger, something like that. Chick-fil-A, I mean, not able to open stores in various states or cities. So if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. If you're a conservative, anything you say is considered to be hateful. So address that issue, Joe. We must be ready for persecution. And the Lord did talk about it. He said, blessed are those who persecuted because of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Yes, and Hank, persecution, especially in America, is seldom honest. That is to say, when people persecute Christians in America for their beliefs, they never say, okay, you Christians, we're going to persecute you. Rather, they frame it in terms of human rights and human decency and say, you Christians are hateful, and we are thereby opposing your hateful speech. Now, that can come in the form of contempt, as you said, the remarks by Charlie Sheen or the remarks by Bill O'Reilly. Cultural contempt is not very pleasant, but I don't think it's the stuff that martyrs are made of. But then it can come more seriously through limitations, such as the ones Chick-fil-A has experienced, where more and more cities are limiting a person's ability to do business because of his particular stance on marriage. Then there are lawsuits against people who refuse to cater same-sex weddings. Now, that's getting more serious. Then there are sanctions proposed against Christian universities or Christian organizations if they do not adhere to current anti-discrimination laws. And I think we'll see more of that in the coming years, Hank. And I think it's entirely possible that we will see the revocation of tax-exempt status for Christian organizations, possibly even churches, who refuse to change their position on sexuality and the family. And then the next extreme step would be hate crime legislation, which would make it literally illegal to make statements that are interpreted as being harmful to someone based on their sexual orientation or behavior. So when we talk about persecution in America, it probably will not come in the form of Christians being taken out and hung or stoned to death. I think it will come more through legislation and through cultural contempt.
Dr. Joe Dallas, the book Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org. There are some problems in the Christian community as well. I mean, many problems perhaps would be a more accurate way of putting it. But address this as you do in the book. Stereotyping, for example. We look at the homosexual community oftentimes as Christians, and we just broad brush the whole group as though they're all militants or they're all angry, iron-booted, narcissistic. I mean, we have all kinds of words. But you're pointing out in the book that you can't do that because that's not how the community is. That's not how any community is.
Yeah, well, that's the point, Hank. I mean, come on. It is intellectual laziness to say that every member of a certain group is this kind of a person. And that's not true of any group, and it's certainly not true of homosexual people. I think that there are still many Christians who stereotype homosexuals as being child molesters or aggressive militants or left-leaning, even communist. And I think in doing that, they close the door to a lot of effective ministry because, in fact, many people who are attracted to the same sex are hungry for the gospel, are willing to hear truth, want to consider the claims of Christ and what those claims would mean to them. So let's keep in mind, you've got a whole population of people who are attracted to the same sex. Then you've got a community based on the homosexual identity. That's a separate group because a lot of people who are attracted to the same sex don't identify themselves by that attraction. Then you also have a smaller group that are what I would call militant, people who are not only part of the visible gay community, or what often is called the LGBT community, but they're also fiercely committed to both normalizing homosexuality and punishing anyone who objects to that. And by the way, that group, Hank, the political movement, the gay rights movement, is not just made of homosexuals. There are plenty of heterosexuals who are a part of that movement. You mentioned Charlie Sheen. I would say he is definitely part of the gay rights movement. Barbara Streisand is, by my definition, a very active part of the gay rights movement, because remember, the movement is a social political movement. It's not necessarily made of homosexual people.
And I think there are also, and you allude to this in the book, there are people within the Christian community who are on the one hand saying that homosexuality is just fine, that if you speak out against homosexuality, then you're a hater. On the other side of the spectrum, you have people like Benny Hinn or Donnie Swaggart, who actually cheered the demise of homosexuals. I mean, I remember the quote, I can't pull it out of my head perfectly, but where Benny Hinn was saying that there was going to come a time where God was going to kill all homosexuals, and I remember listening to the crowd cheering. I mean, this is absolutely appalling.
It was bone-chilling to hear that recording, Hank, because I thought not only how repugnant that has to be to God, who himself said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But I also had to think of any homosexual who heard that. Hank, when I was part of the gay community, if I had heard that statement, I would have thought, well, thanks very much. Now I know how you feel about me. You want me to die, and when I die, you're going to cheer. Now, can you imagine how you would feel if you were part of a subgroup and there was a religious group applauding at the thought of your death, and then how insulting it would be to your intelligence if a member of that religious group walked up to you and said, oh, by the way, we really love you. Would you like to come to church? Now, come on, who would do that?
And then on the other side of the coin, you have an equal and opposite problem, where you have a pastor who is saying, gay or straight here, there's no hate here, and making certain that people, regardless of what they are doing with respect to living in sin, are able to take communion, which seems to me to be a real detriment in general, because the typical warning has always been, don't partake of the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table or the Eucharist in a way that is unworthy, because if you do that, you're eating and drinking damnation unto yourself.
Hank, we are in a time when many Christians are mistaking love for communion or goodwill for fellowship, and I'm glad you brought up that distinction, because I think of communion not only as the sacrament, which, of course, you're quite right, it is, I believe, a dangerous and a very wrong thing to take communion in an unexamined state, and certainly in a state of rebellion. But there's also the communion of the saints, which is different than the human relationship we have with all people. And I think we are mistakenly assuming, at least many of us in the church are, that if we are called to love people, that means we are also to be in communion with them, to say, yes, you may join the church and be an active part of the church and take the sacrament of communion and engage in the sacrament of baptism, even if you are involved in unrepentant, ongoing homosexuality. And this, to my thinking, is a very dangerous watering down of sound doctrine as regarding order within the church and within the body. So we've got two extremes. The one, tolerance and even a celebration of sin happening in the church, and that's growing, along with a very contemptuous, unloving attitude on the other end.
Talking to Joe Dallas, the book Speaking of Homosexuality. Check it out on the web at equip.org. When we come back from the break, I will be taking your calls, people calling in from all over the world. Your calls for Joe Dallas when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Again, we'll go to your calls on the other side of the break. I also am going to close the show with a quote of the hour, and that quote comes directly from Joe Dallas's book. That'll come at the end of the broadcast. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of Joe Dallas. So please don't touch that dial.
Do you realize that at this very moment, the persecution of Christians is gaining momentum around the world? Not just the brutal persecution of fellow believers by Islamic jihadists, but the soft persecution of Christians here at home by secular progressives? It's imperative that as Christians, we stand against this rising tide of persecution. To make your voice heard and your convictions felt, call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. An experience of intellectual doubt is often taken by Christians to be a sign of weak faith. When treated properly, however, an encounter with doubt is extremely valuable, since it can lead to more knowledge and an even greater faith. Other topics include the origin and insufficiency of the Black Hebrew Israelite movement, philosophy, politics, and the end of liberal arts education, social movements, and God's kingdom, which cause matters most, Jephthah's bloodless sacrifice, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Not long ago, the gay rights movement was asking that homosexual people be treated fairly and with respect. But today, more legitimization is not enough. The gay rights movement now demands, with all the subtlety of a socialist purge, the punishment of anyone objecting to that legitimization. The new book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity by Joe Dallas, equips readers to respond to this volatile issue with reason and compassion. To receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or donate online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And a quick reminder that when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its outreach ministries around the world with your ongoing support and appreciation. You receive a personalized copy of any one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. On air with me today, Joe Dallas, his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, available for your support. I love the subtitle, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity. Check the book out, for your support on the web at equip.org. A lot of people hanging on for you, Joe, and I'm going to go to the calls right after this question. But, and I'm not even sure how to frame this question properly, but I think about gender fluidity today. And I think about kids 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old making life decisions, starting hormone therapy based on a feeling, and the kind of damage that that can do long term. There are cultural icons that have the money to be able to withstand all of this, but so many people are, in a sense, being led like lambs to the slaughter.
I think that we are encouraging both delusion and impulsivity. And we're doing it at the detriment, or to the detriment, of the kids who we say we're trying to help. I think we're encouraging delusion when someone says, I feel this way, although the physical reality testifies to something else. I'd say that qualifies as delusion. And to join someone in a delusion, to my thinking, is not a way of helping them. It also is encouraging impulsivity, because we're not giving people time to simply grow as people. We are presuming that what a child feels at the age of 8, 9, or 10, that child is going to continue feeling for life. But good grief, doesn't common sense tell us something completely different, Hank? I mean, most of us absolutely have different feelings, we have drawn different conclusions, we have different tendencies than we had when we were little kids. So I think that we're engaging in a bad enough social experiment in redefining marriage. I think we are engaging in something wildly destructive when we encourage kids to adopt the identity of something which their body testifies against. And I think there's going to be a hell to pay in the long run that we're probably not even considering right now.
A lot of people hanging on for you, Joe. We'll go to the phone lines. David first in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. You're on with Joe Dallas.
Yes, Joe, I wanted to ask you, I am coming out of homosexuality. I started my walk out about 20 years ago. But all this time, I've held on to what I call a 10% that maybe I wonder if I ever intended to give the Lord. And I still struggle with this in the form of pornography, occasional viewing of pornography. Again, I know that humility is needed. Yet at that moment when I'm at the fork in the road and I can decide to go left or right, humility seems to be hard to find. I think I know you probably know what I'm saying, and I'm wondering if you can just offer me some encouragement or a word.
Well, I want to say first, God bless you both for your honesty and for the direction you're going. Obviously, David, I have nothing good to say about pornography. I have nothing good to say about you using it under any circumstances. But I also think all of us listening can appreciate the struggle between the flesh and the spirit, and the sort of Pauline experience of doing the thing you hate and not doing the thing you really want to do and so forth. What I want to urge you to do is at least make sure that you are keeping this in the light with someone who you trust and who you can be accountable to. That is a very helpful part of the equation of overcoming this kind of thing. James said, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. Secondly, I want to encourage you to pray all the more for a hatred of sin. I think in our natural state, we become so acclimated to a pattern of sin that it loses its shock value. And even though we know technically it is wrong, we don't have a real holy indignation about it because we've done it for so long. So I think this is something only God can give us by his Spirit. Pray for a genuine hatred for what he hates and a higher sensitivity to him when those temptations come. And those temptations can be ferocious. Anybody who minimizes that, I don't think, knows what he's talking about. But the good news is, ferocious or not, you certainly don't have to give in to it. You must take this seriously enough to realize you need more of a repugnance for pornography and all that it does to you. And I think you already have a lot of that dwelling in you, or else you wouldn't have called, you wouldn't have any conviction about it. So let's nurture that righteous nature God gave you as a new creature in Christ, and work harder on denying the flesh. And I think I'm speaking for every believer listening to this show when I say we are cheering you on when you do that, David. We really are.
Thanks for your call, Dave. We'll be right back to the phone callers with RC listening in Kansas City, Missouri, KCCV. Hi, RC. You're on with Joe.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Hank.
Hi.
I just recently had a conversation with a professed millennial, and the whole conversation came about because I posed a question to him, and I assumed it was of my mindset, but his answer and illustrations proved otherwise. I asked, should we as Christians, does it come up for a vote in favor of gay marriage? And he said yes, because he believes they were born that way. He himself doesn't profess being gay, and further brought up Leviticus as a poor argument against the topic because of other stipulations Leviticus shares to require. He used this illustration with me, which I never heard before. He asked, in this room that you and I are standing in, how does it make you feel? Are you hot? Are you cold? Or are you fine? I said, I feel fine, to which he replied, I am freezing. This is the reason why I believe, although considered divine, because it is written by men, is not factual. That's what he, I've never heard an illustration from a person giving me that on his argument for gays before. So I didn't know how to address that.
RC, I admit I'm a little puzzled as to what point he was trying to make. If you are comfortable with the temperature in the room, but someone else is freezing, all that tells us is that the two of you are responding differently to something which is still objectively true, and that is the real temperature of the room. If the temperature of the room is 71 degrees, perhaps you're comfortable with that, perhaps someone else is uncomfortable with it, but it remains 71 degrees. Thereby, if God ordained marriage with a particular definition, some will be comfortable with that, some will not, but the definition remains intact. It is not fluid. There are different responses to it, and I think that's all your friend is really proving. As for Leviticus, let's keep in mind that the New Testament itself confirms that there are parts of the Old Testament law not applicable to the believer today. So we're certainly not picking and choosing which parts of the Bible we take seriously. We take the Bible in its entirety seriously. But the Levitical passages that address homosexuality, Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20, those entire chapters also address bestiality, prostitution, adultery, and incest. Those chapters are devoted primarily to sexual behaviors that are not only forbidden in the Old Testament, but reiterated as forbidden in the New Testament as well. They are universal. In other words, they are not applicable only to ancient Israel. Those standards of sexual behavior apply both to all believers and really to all people, because in Leviticus 20, God said that because of these behaviors, the land itself has become defiled. And that tells me that God views those behaviors as having a polluting effect on the very environment, not to mention the people who engage in them.
I want to mention that I am going to stay with Joe for an extra hour once we go off the air, which will be soon. We'll continue taking your calls. The number you can dial now and for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Again, we'll be taking your calls. Once we go off the air, I'll record Joe's answers to your questions. We'll play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Joe, I want to ask you a final question. We're sort of running out of time. We only have a couple of minutes left. But there are so many people who probably have the idea, look, this is a ship that's passed. We cannot win this debate. Why bother with it?
We continue to speak truth as stewards of truth, first and foremost, because we're commissioned as ambassadors to do so. Hank, when you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, God is not going to ask us how many people believed us. He's going to ask us how faithfully we stewarded the truth he commissioned us with. Secondly, let's never forget that whatever laws may be passed, whatever direction the culture may go, there will always be people who respond both to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the revealed truth of God in Scripture. This is true, for example, of the abortion argument. Now, there's a ship which passed 30-plus years ago, yet nobody is saying, let's stop speaking out against the killing of the unborn just because the culture has sanctioned the killing of the unborn, because it remains wrong. So let's not modulate our approach to truth by how well it's being received. Let's recognize that ambassadors are commissioned to steward the message of the one who sent them, regardless of the environment or the response which comes from the environment.
Joe Dallas, again, the book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, available for your support at the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, you can talk directly to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Today's quote of the hour comes from Loretta Castorini. She's played, by the way, by Cher in the film Moonstruck. And you'll find this quote of the hour in Joe's book. And this is how it goes. The attempt to... Whoops, I think I might have the wrong one here. Yeah, so maybe my nature does draw me to you. That doesn't mean I have to go with it. I can take hold of myself and I can say yes to some things and no to other things that are going to ruin everything. I can do that. Otherwise, you know, what good is this stupid life that God gave us? Again, this quote of the hour comes from Loretta Castorini, played by Cher in the film Moonstruck. Joe and I are going to stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. If you're dialing in, remember the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll be back in just a few moments with answers to your questions. We'll record my answers, play them on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Out of time for today's edition. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Black Hebrew Israelite movement has infiltrated black communities on the basis of two principal claims. First, all African Americans biologically descend from the ancient Hebrews. And second, the means of salvation for African Americans is obedience to the law of Moses. Their worldview, however, has no foundation in history or scripture. Other topics include doubt as virtue, how to doubt and have faith without exploding, Francis Schaeffer, pastor, evangelist, apologist, prophet, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.